ladies and gentlemen, he's the big man on the fan. That's what he says. The one and only Bob McCowan on the Fan 590.
Two minutes past the hour, depending on where you are, across the country, around the world, or on up your street, 4:02 here in Toronto. It's the 9th of September, a Thursday. Bob McCowan, John Shannon in the Toronto studios. It's opening night of the National Football League. We'll get to that a little bit later
on. But you're not watching.
John Bankswell. Not interested.
You got to be interested.
No, I don't got to be anything.
You do, because the Saints are a great story.
Well, I'll...
Grandpa... The grandfather on the other team's a good story too.
Oh, I could care less about the Minnesota Aints.
No,
it's the New Orleans Aints.
New Orleans ours now.
Yeah, but they didn't change the name.
Oh, they tell you what, they're the most exciting team in football to watch. I think.
Well, they were last year. At the beginning of last year, they were scoring points like crazy. They were fun to watch. I don't know if they're going to be the same team this year. Well, but you know what? Okay, I'll give them. You know. But I can't watch the National Football League without a rooting interest. I'm sorry. I find it unbelievably boring. I can watch a CFL game involving anybody and
well, they're better games overall, though. Like, more exciting. Not better games.
Yes.
More exciting.
Yes.
There's more opportunity for lead change and scoring in the CFL.
I got enough sports on TV to choose from.
You think?
Yeah. That I don't need to sit down and watch two slugs bang it out in a 16-13 snooze fest.
Oh, yeah.
That takes 3 hours and 45 minutes to finish. I don't need that. It's not high on my mandate list. I'm past that. I'm over it. You lost me a long time ago. Now, the sad sack Cleveland Browns, I will watch even get pummeled 58-7.
But they're not your Cleveland Browns.
No, they are.
The Baltimore Ravens are your Cleveland Browns, and
yeah,
you know
it. I know, but I can't. I can't do that. There's nobody left, really.
Not really.
Kicker used to be there. Who was the kicker? Stover. Matt Stover.
Yeah, but Matt Stover ended up in Indianapolis last year.
No, I know. But Matt Stover, I think, was the last
of the
Cleveland Brown to actually play for Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree.
So when it was over for him, that was... I mean, there was never an attachment. They weren't the Cleveland Browns.
You mean you didn't have the Modells over for lunch?
Oh, I had a picture of him with a noose around his neck in my office.
Really?
Oh, yeah. For all those years, we didn't have the Cleveland Browns. I watched no NFL football. Now, at least, I still have the Brownies back. And they're horrible, and I acknowledge that.
Well, they're better. They'll be better this year.
We hope.
Yeah, they'll be better.
Some have suggested.
Don't say the P word. Don't say the P word.
Well, not that far, but they might be one of the most improved teams.
Oh.
Like, they might win 8.
Bob, I will take...
You know who might be good this year, they say? Houston.
No, Houston may make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The problem Houston has is they're in the same division with Tennessee and with Indianapolis. That's their problem. I mean,
Well, they're the same conference. They're not in the same division. Houston's in with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Are they not?
I don't think so, Bob. I think that's changed.
Well, who else is in that division then? Well, just a second. Let me look.
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland.
Yeah, and?
Baltimore, isn't it?
No. Baltimore, no. No,
you better check.
I'm going to check. See, that's how little I watch.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't look at the standings because...
Well, the standings don't matter until like December the 1st.
If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, the standings never matter.
That's right.
It's not even... You don't even have to worry about looking at that. You know, the Browns are bad and you just hope they'll beat somebody next week.
Well, you made Phil Lynn's day today.
Why?
Talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I only mentioned...
He loves the Cleveland Browns.
Browns Rodgers expects to play against Bucks. That came up on the internet screen. What am I looking for here?
You're looking for the divisions in the NFL.
How about standings? Standings ought to do it, right?
Okay. Yep.
Browns are tied for first.
Undefeated.
Yeah, till about 11 tonight. Okay, here we go. AFC. God, you're right.
I know.
It is Baltimore.
I know.
How did I not know that? Well, that's worse. It used to be Houston.
But that was, Bob, that was in the days of Dan Pastorini.
Yeah, that was the Oilers, right?
That was Billy White. That's right. It was the Oilers.
Damn. When did that happen?
When Houston came into the league, Bob.
Now, I was asking earlier, do you remember when they used to start on Labor Day?
Yes, I do.
I was talking about that. Well, so we now, I know 2002 was the last time they started on Labor Day.
Yeah.
They used to alternate. It seemed like every other year they'd start on Labor Day or the week after Labor Day, depending on when Labor Day fell.
What really changed it was the last TV contracts where somebody said, I want a Thursday night game.
Well, that and they decided to pay homage to college football and let them have the first weekend. Yeah, there was some of that.
Well, just splitting the revenues from the TV networks, basically, what you're saying.
More or less.
Yeah.
I'm sure a TV
Forget about homage.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a TV network said, look, we don't want to fight college football on Saturday because college football also now plays some games at other times.
I would tell you, I'd swear that college football now plays every night.
Almost, isn't it?
Yeah. But ESPN has changed the whole platform of nights. They played last Thursday night. They actually had games last Thursday night. Are you checking the divisions now, Bob?
They have the Browns tied for first with Cincinnati.
Alphabetical, Bob.
No, it's not alphabetical because Baltimore's at the bottom.
Oh.
Maybe it's Bengals, Browns, Steelers, Ravens.
No. S is after
R. No, that doesn't work either. Maybe why they did it this order.
Maybe it's the colors. Brown.
See, because it should be Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. It's the only way
I like that. Pittsburgh in last place. See, I don't care if the Browns win one game if the Steelers win none.
Yeah. It's that bad for you.
That's not possible because they play twice. That could never happen. See? Look at that. You learned something.
Well, they could tie. They can still have ties in the National Football League.
That's true. See, now they're bellyaching about going to 18 games.
Do you remember when they played 14?
I remember when they played 12, pal.
Man, you're old. You are old.
Now, barely.
No, I don't remember 12. I remember 14 game schedule.
I remember it went from 12 to 14.
Yeah. I remember 14.
It was 14 for quite a while.
Well, all through the 60s.
Yeah.
And I don't, quite frankly, I think the whole move to 18 games for the National Football League it just makes sense.
Sure it does.
Those preseason games are a waste of time. And if you're going to charge your season ticket holders that kind of money, you might as well get money out of
it. I don't know where it was. There was somebody in the paper, one of the papers today, wrote an article about, does the NFL even know that the Canadian Football League has been playing 18 games for years?
Yeah.
Guys aren't falling over as a result of exhaustion.
No, but I would tell you, though, if you actually, we'll ask Obi this. I do think that the quality of play for the first two or three games of the CFL season aren't up to snuff, but it's still a strong investment and still a better move for the league.
Well, it's real football.
It means something to everyone.
I want to change gears.
What magazine is that?
This is a chill magazine.
Are you in it?
No.
Oh.
Letterman, Leno, and Conan is coming back in
November. Yes, he's on TNT, I believe.
I believe you're right. And also on CTV here in Canada. CTV has picked him up.
Really? I know who I'm watching.
But while O'Brien will be found on CTV in Canada, the Precious American market he'll be on, TBS at 11 p.m.
Sorry, TBS, yeah.
Put some head-to-head with John Daly on The Daily Show. And then, for the last half hour, up against Leno and Letterman.
And my favorite other show.
George Lopez?
No, Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert.
Really?
The Colbert Report.
Sorry. I'm not a Daly fan.
Are you not?
Nah, he's okay.
Colbert is great.
I don't like Colbert at all.
How can you not? I mean, it's so tongue-in-cheek. It's fantastic.
This pisses me off. I don't know why.
Because you didn't think of it. That's why.
That might have something to do with it. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
But okay. So it's now 11:30.
Yep.
There's Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
There's Leno.
Yep.
There's Conan.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you watching?
Oh, without question.
Really?
Without question, David Letterman.
Thank you very much.
I mean, the other two are just not on the same platform. I mean, Letterman is...
Why does Letterman not win the ratings war? You know when Letterman lost the ratings war? He was the big winner.
Hugh Grant and the whole...
That's right. Hugh Grant shows up on Leno.
After
he was with the hooker.
Yeah, was her name Divine Brown or
That's
something?
That's it.
Sorry, I don't know that really. But yes, and then it changed everything.
Why? Did you spend some time with Miss Divine Brown yourself? I mean, is that why you have a certain bonding with Hugh Grant?
I would like to be on TV right now, but I'm going to turn this over to my lawyer. I refuse to answer that question on the grounds it may incriminate me.
Your Honor, we'll take that as a yes.
Yes, you're right.
No, I never liked Conan. I think Conan's probably a nice guy. I thought his shows here in Toronto were cute. I watched those. Leno leaves me cold. I don't dislike Leno. I just think it's a bad show.
I tell you what, it's very plastic.
And I must say this. I think Dave's getting a little hokey now.
Well, you know, I mean...
I love Dave, but I think it's a little hokey.
I don't know. And Bob, you've done this show for how many years?
Off and on, 35.
Okay. How do you do something for the length of time that these guys have done this show without getting into routines and not worrying about that hokiness? And because that's really the issue. I mean, trying to keep it fresh for the viewer,
I understand,
is really a challenge.
Well, but you see, what Letterman does is he has his announcer that now sits there.
Yeah.
And he brings the announcer. See, you're laughing.
Oh, he's good.
No, he's not.
Oh, you don't like that?
I hate him.
Oh, I do. I like him. I like when he gets mad.
He's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
And those little bits leading into commercials, those one-liners that are really, just kindergarten.
But, well, you know why they're doing them. Every time, if you look at the format
Mr.
of the show.
Okay, Mr. TV executive,
well,
tell
if you
me.
Look at the format of the show, they're changing the stage over for a music act. And it takes them time, and you'll notice that they do a bridge. They got a 3-minute commercial. They do this stupid bridge, you know, coming up next, and don't forget to call your mother on Tuesdays because she's a lovely lady, back after this, and then another 3-minute break. They need that time to change for the stage for a music act. And it's like that Entertainment Tonight show. You know the show's over when the birthdays are up, right? It's become part
second.
Of that routine.
It's the same studio that Ed Sullivan used to be in. It is known as the Ed Sullivan.
Yes, but Ed Sullivan used to
theater.
Bob, I've been there. I've seen the show. Been in the audience.
Yeah,
and they do a fantastic job. But remember, Ed Sullivan had a curtain, so Ed would come out.
But wait a second, buy a curtain.
Well, that's not the way the show's designed.
Well, I don't care. Buy a curtain.
Okay, let's get
Dave on.
Let's get Letterman on. Or Paul Schaefer. Let's get somebody
I don't
on.
I want Paul Schaefer. Well, no, Paul Schaefer's a nobody.
He's from Thunder Bay. He's down there on the Walk of Fame,
fine.
Bob.
He has no pull.
Okay.
We want Dave on.
Okay, well, we're going to work on it.
Let's get Dave on the show.
Let's try. We can try that. Who do we know that knows Dave? Nobody.
We'll have to think about it. I don't know anybody that knows
Dave. I tell you what, I'm going to send an email to somebody and try to get him on.
Don't you know somebody over at CBS?
Yep.
You know Les?
Les Moonves?
Yeah.
No. But Julie's a friend.
Julie Moonves?
No, Julie Chan is her name. That's his wife. She does the morning show. You didn't know that,
Julie
right?
Julie Chan's married to Les Moonves? I didn't know that.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Now, isn't she out in L.A.?
No, she's in New York.
Is she in New York?
But she does Big
we
Brother.
We gotta go?
She does Big Brother in L.A. I think she flies
oh,
up.
Right.
But they're
okay.
Married. Okay. Les Moonves and Julie Chen. There's no nepotism in the CBS family.
No, hardly at all.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Call Julie and have her put Les on the phone. And then we'll get Les to call Dave.
No, we'll get
And then Dave will call us, and then we'll talk about it.
Tell you, I don't know Julie Chen. I do know somebody at Worldwide Pants. We will get somebody.
That's Dave's company.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
We're gonna send an email and say, listen, we've been talking a lot about the show. How do we get 10 minutes on primetime
with
Dave?
Especially now with
Conan.
Idiot boy.
Well, I don't like him.
No, neither do I. Going over to TBS or wherever the hell he's going.
Yeah.
What did you say earlier?
I thought TNT, but it is
TBS. TBS.
Say, they're all the same.
We're trying to get Dave on. Our producer just came back in the studio. Nice of you to rejoin us.
Well,
we're producing the show, which we believe was in your job description.
Well, he actually...
You know how I said was?
No, but if Ryan had a problem getting a guest, you know what he would do?
Yeah, you guys talk. That's what he'd say.
He'd send me an email.
16 past the hour. Obie's next when primetime continues on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Blue Jays baseball, Jays and Rangers, tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and primetime sports on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
23 past the hour. McCown Chenet. Later, Daniel Nestor, Don Banks, David Branch, Alan Kaspersky. Who's got this website, something called myjuniorhockeyteam.ca.
I got my $50 ready.
Well, don't tell them I haven't told them yet. I haven't told the audience yet what it is.
Sorry.
Some people will know, but
okay.
This is called The Hook. You wouldn't know that because you've only been in TV since you were born.
Mm-hmm. I remember the Ed Sullivan Theater when it was for Ed Sullivan.
Topo Gigio.
Hey, little Topo Gigio. Here's Topo Gigio.
That's right. See,
now, you know
all
how
the
you
guys
do
over 60.
Can do Ed Sullivan?
Yes.
Do you know what the catchphrase is that you use to do your Ed Sullivan?
Right here.
No.
What's that?
Well, now you know.
Oh.
That's the phrase. Well, now you know.
Okay. Do you know what he was before he was the...
Yes, he was a columnist.
A gossip columnist.
That's right.
At one of the newspapers.
Ed. Oh, Ed.
Talk of the town.
Obie's old enough. He'll remember Ed. Obie used to...
Obie might have been there.
Oh, come on. Not, that's not...
Yeah, I wrote the column for him.
You ghosted it. Ed Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, never wrote a column. Obie wrote it for him.
Oh, or Judy did, that's for sure.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're out of control. So we got a bunch of questions. None of them have anything to do with what you'd think we want to ask you about. So here's the first question. Letterman, Leno, or Conan?
You know, it is 11:30, Bob.
I never stay up that late to watch those shows.
What are you, in bed by 9:30? God, you are old.
Sometimes I'm asleep before those shows start, I can tell you that much.
So your wife has the warm milk ready for you by 9, and your light's out by 9:30.
No, not quite that close.
There's that question down the drain.
Yep.
How's your memory?
I realize I just turned 70 this past summer, so I...
Congratulations.
You know, I'm going to slow down a little bit sometime. I just don't know when.
Why?
Like, do you remember the Tonight Show? Like, Johnny Carson used to host it. It was on late at night.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Watch it. Sure.
You remember Jack Parr hosted it, probably.
Yes.
How about the guy before Jack Parr? Let's see if Obie knows.
Oh, okay. Who was the first host of the Tonight Show?
I'm trying to think. I do know that, but I can't. I'm trying to place the guy's face here so I can say his name.
Steve.
Steve A.
Yep. Steve Allen.
Steve Allen. You're correct.
Yep. I knew.
I know too much about...
Yeah, but you remember. You don't...
A lot older than I am.
Hey, Bob. Come on, Bob. Just because you can jog better than me in the neighborhood, that doesn't mean...
He just doesn't look like it.
Or feel like it, trust me.
So, here's another one you got to jog your memory on. Do you remember when the CFL went from a 16-game schedule to 18?
Yes.
Did you think there was a tangible difference? Like, did you think this was a big deal?
Where the big difference was is just in training camp. The 4 preseason games helped a lot in getting prepared for the regular schedule, and there's no question that still is a truism, but we gave up 2 preseason games to make them league games for interest and giving the owners some other revenues from games that meant something rather than preseason games.
Yeah.
But I mean, everybody's learned to live with it, and it makes it tougher for your coaching staff to evaluate. You know, with 4 preseason games, you had a better chance to see just who the better guys might be and that type of thing. But if it could be done, I think the ideal situation would be the 3 preseason games and the 18 league games.
Now, when you played, you played in the Eastern Conference, and you actually played a 14-game schedule in the Eastern Conference, and the Western Conference used to play a 16-game schedule.
No, you're right. That's right. I do. I remember that, too. Yeah, that's right. And they used to have a sudden death playoff, and we used to have...
2 out of 3.
Two out of 3, and we used to have the total point.
2-game total point.
Right.
That was where Russ Jackson always made his mark, right?
Yeah. Russ was on those teams, and, there was some exciting football in those days. Naturally, we didn't have the rosters they have now. I mean, every guy on the roster, like myself, when I came to the CFL, I was recruited and signed mainly as a defensive back, but who could play quarterback, because every backup quarterback had to have another position.
And that's right.
Usually a defensive player. And so, you know, every guy on the defense had to know some offensive position in the event you needed to play. And every guy in the offense had to know a defensive position. In training camp, they used to practice those guys enough so that they had familiarity with the offense and defense in the event they did have to play.
Just remind Marcel that that was a 32-man roster once in a while, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm pulling that now. I mean, these guys are spoiled now.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Keeling was one of those guys, wasn't he?
God, yeah. I hated him.
Played quarterback and DB.
Jerry was like that when I came into the league. Joe Zuger.
Yep.
I think it was Ridley. I think Riddell.
Bill Riddell.
He did it for Edmonton, yeah.
You know, you know what Bill Riddell's doing right now?
What?
Bill Riddell is coaching high school football in California, and his two quarterbacks last year on his high school football team were named Montana and Gretzky.
Are you serious?
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a good piece of trivia.
It is trivia.
Where'd they go?
Well, Montana ended up going to Notre Dame. He's the third quarterback for Notre Dame, and Ty's still there.
Oh, Ty was the other one, right?
Yeah,
of course.
That's right.
I'm thinking Gretzky. I mean, there's another guy named Gretzky?
Yeah.
Of course.
I thought he was going to tell me that Montana went to Montana.
No. You stay.
Me too.
Stay out of the... Once a big sky guy, always a big sky. You got to stay
right.
out of that, okay?
Yep, that's me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were a Northwesterner, weren't you? Here's the other thing we were talking about. With the National Football League starting tonight, there was a time when around this time of year, in fact, exactly this time of year, there used to be a thing called the airlift. See, you're laughing. You remember. Where the CFL teams used to bring in all the late cuts from the NFL, and almost invariably, a few guys would not only make the team, but would literally start the next weekend.
No question. Yeah, you know, I've been talking about that's been brought up this week a lot for because of the timing, and I've shared this with several people that, you know, when Ralph Sajo was in Hamilton, his philosophy was that, you know, if we could be close to 500 at Labor Day, I know we're going to be a better football team after Labor Day, because that's when we'll bring in all the NFL cuts and improve our roster. And, you know, in those days, one of the reasons they were able to do that, I think, and be effective at it as well, was that, you know, what they did, the systems and schemes and things like that, and the smaller rosters, it was easier to do that type of thing. Nowadays, the offenses and the defenses are a lot more complicated, more involved, and it takes a little more time for a guy to come in here and learn enough to be able to put on the field and trust him to be able to do his job. So it's a little bit different now than it was then, and as a result, you can't do the same type of thing that they used to do in those days. But that was true. That used to happen with lots of teams, and it did make a difference after Labor Day. An influx of good players come into the league.
Well, and you mentioned it. Hamilton was the one team. I mean, the Argos used to do it too, but not usually to great success. But Hamilton used to do it regularly and have success with it. So
Ralph used to go down to Buffalo and he'd camp there.
Oh, yeah.
He'd wait until the guys were cut, and he was sitting there waiting for him, and he'd bring him back across the board.
Put him in the back seat, and away you go. How many guys did you bring in? How many NFL cuts have you brought in this year?
This year, we haven't brought anybody yet.
Not one.
Our practice roster is still the seven max, and we will bring some guys in shortly. The reason we haven't at this point in time is because what happens now is that the agents, if a guy gets released, they aren't going to sign with us right away to come up here and be added to the practice squad and see if they can get activated, because they want to wait and see if they want to exhaust all their opportunities down there. So we're probably, realistically, none of us are going to see a lot of guys come in here until, probably next week or later. And then you'll start seeing some new faces cropping up. And our reason for doing it is twofold. If we can find some guys and come in here and help us right now where we need help, you know, they might get in there and do exactly that. And then The other part is to bring him in, and if we really like him, then we try and sign him for next year if we can't play him right now.
You got you had two injuries on the offensive line on Monday. Is that where you need the most help?
Well, we were fortunate. Jason Amanis was going to be our starting right tackle at the start of the season. In preseason, he got hurt in the last preseason game, and then we had to find another tackle, and Belton Johnson came in and filled the spot, and has helped us. But when he got hurt just when Jason was coming off of injured, so Jason will be okay and healthy enough to play this week. And George Hudson, unfortunately, got probably a season-ending injury with his knee. And we have had some depth. We made a trade with Toronto. We acquired Brian Ramsey earlier in the year, and he'll become our sixth man on the offense. So we've got ourselves covered with those injuries, but, fortunately we have guys that were ready to go in those positions, and it could have been a lot worse if we didn't have the depth that we have.
Well, you got a big victory over the blue and white on Labor Day, so things are you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so. We went through some trying times early in the year, and we had a young punter that we were trying to bring along, groom as a non-import punter, and he had the leg strength to do it, but he just had problems catching the snaps and
small problem,
the ball off on time, and I'd never seen that before in all my years, and that was critical in a couple of games we lost, and our kicking game wasn't as sharp as it should have been earlier in the year, and we tried to start the season off with an all-Canadian offensive line, and that didn't prove to be successful. And when we brought in Belton Johnson, that solidified the offensive line, and we moved Simeon Rotier to guard. And we've been playing a lot better since. In fact, I think our sack totals are considerably less than what they were at the beginning of the season. So we've made some progress. The punter we brought in to replace Justin Pilardi, Eric Wilbur's doing a fine job for us and giving us good field position. And he's a good athlete. He faked a field goal or faked a punt the other day.
Yeah, we saw.
So he showed his athleticism on that play because the Toronto guy had him cut off, but he made a move on him and showed that he's more than just a kicker.
Yeah, that's sad when a punter puts a move on you and leaves you sitting there grasping at air. Obi, we got to go. We're out of time.
Okay, well, it's good time to you guys. I'm glad you're having so much fun there.
Yeah, try to stay up past 9:30. You can give us a next time we ask you about Letterman and those guys, all right?
I'll have another cup of milk.
Holy cow. Bob Obilovich, the general manager of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We'll come back with more. Primetime continues on The Fan and Rogers Sportsnet.
Nigel Reed and Bobby Arushi scored big on The Soccer Show tonight at 11. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
A-team before the hour. McCowan here with Shannon over there. David Branch will join us in the next hour. Also, Don Banks of Sports Illustrated. Banksy down in New Orleans? New Orleans. So, early, they have the Saints thing on the field.
Yes.
Earlier today, they were getting their field ready, and they had this platform on the field.
Oh, no.
Covered up the first S. It said New Orleans Saints. Like the old days, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't say that anymore, though, huh? And then Daniel Nestor will join us. Who got bumped at the U.S. Open.
Would he be Canada's most prolific tennis player of all time?
I was thinking about that, and I think he probably is, isn't he?
He is, but he's done it quietly.
He's done it in doubles.
Yeah.
He was never a great, let's be honest, he was never a great singles player.
Yeah.
I don't know what his highest ranking was, but it would be a long time ago.
150th?
Might have been better than that, but.
As a singles player.
Trying to think of who might also qualify. What was her name? The young girl. Carling Bassett.
Well, and there was Helen.
Was top 10.
And Helen Kelsey was
Helen
there.
Helen Kelsey. She got top 10.
Grant Connell was a great tennis player.
Yeah. Why? So you're disputing?
No,
Daniel
I don't
Nestor?
Know. I know. I think that Nestor has made a bigger impact in tennis, in Canadian tennis, than anyone else.
What did I say about Daniel Nestor?
He was a nice guy. And
no, you said 150.
What did you say?
I thought I said top 50.
He was?
58.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so there you go. So apparently you know all about this. MyJuniorHockeyTeam.ca.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain it?
Basically, this young guy has got an online... you can buy a share in a junior hockey team or a hockey team and try to get a franchise, and they end up playing all their games on the road.
But they don't have a team yet, right?
No.
So
they don't even have a league.
First they collect the money, and then they find a team?
I guess.
Well, let's ask the guy.
And they've done it in Europe before for a soccer team, I believe.
Thank you. What's the relevance of that, that it's been done?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Here's Alan Kaspersky of MyJuniorHockeyTeam.ca. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Bob, I'm well. Thanks very much. John, how are you?
Great, thanks.
So when did you come up with this brainstorm?
A couple years ago. And oddly enough, I'm following the folks over in England who did this idea called My Football Club.
Okay.
I was on the BBC, and I'm watching it online, and ended up talking to the guy who started the whole thing. He thought I wanted to start a soccer equivalent here in Canada. I said, no. I wanted to Canadianize it, make it a hockey idea. And so I've been researching it and doing a little background since.
So so let me go right to the beginning here. So the idea is I give you $50. I get one share. When you get enough $50, you go find a hockey team to buy?
Pretty much. I mean, there's a step before that. The idea is you launch a website. And you ask people if you're interested in this idea, if you want to own a team, if you want to be the GM, if you want to do all those kind of things, register.
Okay.
Sign up. And if you get a certain number of people who are interested, then you say, okay, time to send your money in. And you know, you send your $50 in, put it into a trust account. And then you go and find a team that, depending on how much money you've collected, you could reasonably buy and operate. And that could be any of the 650 junior teams across Canada.
Now, your aspirations here are not necessarily a major junior team.
No, I mean, if you look at a major junior team, one of the CHL teams across the country, you'd probably have to have anything between maybe as low as $3 million, upwards of maybe 10, maybe a couple dollars more. I'm looking at the next level.
Provincial junior A. Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And those teams, anything, you know, they could be between $100,000 and maybe $500,000.
Does geography matter?
No, not at all. And that's the kind of the neat thing about this is that when the guys in England did their, with soccer, they had 31,000 people who joined, paid their membership fee from 80 different countries around the world.
And they ended up
buying a team in north part of Kent in near London. No, geography doesn't matter. It really depends on where the group, where the members, you know, what team, you know, most interests them and where they want to be. And, of course, depends on, you know, what teams might be available.
And the team in Kent is still alive and still kicking?
It is. It was kind of one of those Cinderella kind of stories because literally weeks after they closed the deal and bought the team, the team went to Wembley and won the FA Trophy, which is the big championship, trophy for non-league teams. Mm-hmm. They're in the English fifth division. They
well,
got relegated
Blake.
Last year.
That's Blake.
That's right. So they've struggled a little bit. They've made some mistakes with how they've done things, and hopefully we can learn from that. But they're still going strong.
Now, have you talked to any of the existing leagues in our country, or even in the United States, that would have an interest in you participating some way?
I had the chance to talk to every league commissioner, league president over the last about a year ago now, and I've talked to a number of them since. And I asked them that if something like this was to happen, you know, how much would it cost to buy a team, an expansion team, an existing team, how much would it cost to operate a team, and it varies across the country. And then, of course, the constant thing was it would have to be approved by the Board of Governors. The response I got from I would say with all of them, was almost all of them, was terrific idea. Don't know which of our owners might be interested, but absolutely, please stay in touch. And when you're ready to launch this thing, we'd like to learn more. It's a community-owned hockey team.
Sure.
The tricky part that some of the coaches or the GMs might have is if you've got 10,000, 12,000 people, kind of sitting over your shoulder saying, geez, you should be, you know, starting this guy in net on Friday or on Saturday afternoon, or maybe the third jersey should look like that. You've got to be able to make it more of an advice kind of thing rather than, you know, you have to do this. But I think the premise is good, the idea is good, and most of the leagues, we're interested.
So this would be you envision this as a true democracy?
Absolutely. Yeah. One person, one vote.
All right.
Can I buy more than one share?
You could. Green Bay, the Packers, as you probably know, the community owned since they started, practically since 1919. You can buy, I think it's up to 200,000 shares, but you still get one vote. I think we may look at something a little more modest that you can buy maybe 5 or 10 or something like that, but it's still one person, one vote.
It becomes a cumbersome thing. I mean, ultimately, are you going to tabulate the results of every online survey for every question that you may submit to these prospective owners?
I guess that's the neat thing about, you know, what you can do with the internet nowadays, with Facebook, with discussion forums, with whatever it is. You can do surveys, you can do quick votes, you can do all kinds of things. And so absolutely, that would be something that most of the, if not all of the provincial junior A teams and below, they don't have a lot of resources, you know, like office staff. So if I were to say to them, 10,000 people are going to be sending you emails and telling you what to do.
A bit crazy.
Absolutely. So part of what we would do is tabulate all that, consolidate it, and then maybe once a week you do a briefing with a coach, with the GM, and say, right, Here's what people are talking about, here's what they'd like to see, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you may have a tough time getting a coach or a GM.
Well, true. It may be, but that's probably, we talked to one coach, you know, general manager and coach, who kind of contacted us and said, you know, wanted more details. And he said, there's no, you know, way that I'm going to let a bunch of people tell me who to start a net on Saturday. Or even, you know...
Oh, yeah, we'll fire your ass then.
Well, what I said to him was, I said, but if those 10,000 people were putting like $100,000 into your team every year, would you
change
listen
it
to them?
Yeah. And he said,
absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll play goal on Saturday if they want me to.
We got
to
get out of here. Alan, it's a really interesting idea. We wish you good luck with it. If it's okay, we'll stay in touch and see how it goes. Alan Kaspersky. You can go to myjuniorhockeyteam.ca and check it out. Maybe you want to own a piece of a junior hockey team.
Glenn Sather went driven nuts in Edmonton with 37 owners, let alone 10,000.
David Branch, Don Banks, Daniel Nestor, when we come back and Primetime continues. You're listening on The Fan, watching on Rogers Sportsnet. Well, a flat day on the markets pretty much across the board. The TSX was down for, I think, the third day in a row, but only 8 points, so pretty much a break-even day. 12,033 at the close. Dow up 28, NASDAQ gained 7. Price of gold slipped $11.90 back to $12.45.60. Oil was down another 68 cents to $73.99 a barrel, and the Canadian dollar up a fifth of a cent. It sits at 96.65. Mike Eppel is back with us. Stocks rising on Wall Street for the sixth time in 7 days, although it wasn't much of a rise. And it is indeed a three-day losing streak for the TSX.
Yeah, trouble spot again on the TSX was the gold sector. The price for the metal dropped $12. Other than that, really, it was a quiet day. We saw more strength in the banks, a little bit of a rally for the energy shares. There's talk that the banks, as they start to loosen up the restrictions on the amount of capital these companies have to have in place, because they really said they had to have a lot of extra cash on hand during the recession just to prevent it against any problems, some of that money might start to come available for dividend increases. So we've seen the banks have a pretty good week so far. The U.S. numbers on the economy today were actually not too bad. Fewer people filing for unemployment benefits. The trade deficit there was lower than expected, and that all boosted the market right from the get-go. All in all, just a modest upswing. But again, Wall Street close to break-even for the year and up for the sixth time in 7 days.
I know it wasn't surprising to anybody, including me, that the Bank of Canada raised interest rates by a quarter of a point yesterday. And it's only at one, so I mean, it's not like a big deal. But I'm not sure it was justified.
Well, and you can certainly make that argument. They would say that we don't require emergency low interest rates that we had during the recession. So 1% on the overnight lending rate, 3% on the prime. It's not much, but you start to look at some of the economic results. And today, another example, the trade deficit for July, record-breaking at $2.7 billion. I mean, we used to be a country that had a trade surplus. Now, having said that, the dollar was a lot lower at that time. But, you know, and exports were stronger. But you ratchet up rates. What happened? The dollar went up by over a cent in value, which is going to hurt exports. The U.S. economy is still not doing great, so the market there is weak. We've seen weak GDP numbers, weak employment numbers, and tomorrow morning we're going to get the August unemployment data. If that comes in negative, it's not supposed to, but if it does, there's going to be a lot more questions being raised about the Bank of Canada's actions this week.
Well, I think you're right. We got to get out of here. Thank you, Mr. Apple.
Thank you.
TSX down, Dow was up 28. That's the story today in the business world. The Business Report. With Mike Apple on The Fan every weekday afternoon at this time.